Bibles tonight, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in the chapter 23. We're going to see through the next, I'm always trying to, I'm always trying to have change, because change has a, is a weird feeling. Hope and change, some of these kind of things. But I like to do something to keep people, give opportunities. I want to give opportunities to serve and different things. We're going to be having some different men preaching Wednesday nights and doing the service. And Brother Ed's going to be doing the, next Sunday. My wife and I are going to be going over to, Wednesday. I'll be here Sunday. This is Mother's Day. I better be here. So next Wednesday, my wife and I are going to be flying to going over to Oklahoma City. Joy is graduating, and then we're bringing her back with us. And so we'll be there for the week, and they have a preaching conference, graduation preaching conference. So we'll be there next week. Then the week after, we got some other guys. Eddie's going to speak again. Brother Joe is going to speak one. We got Todd is going to be lined up. So we got some different guys going to be, preaching on the Wednesday nights. And I really just want us to have the opportunity to give them an opportunity to minister to us, and you to get an opportunity to hear somebody else. Speak of that next, not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, I have scheduled a church planner to come. I'm really excited about an opportunity. He's got a fella that's going to Chicago to start a church. You're like, do they need another church in Chicago? Well, let's find out. Let's find out what he has to say. And so looking forward to that. He's going to, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, he's going to be with us the whole day so we could spend some time and visit with them. And so be looking forward to that, and we'll probably get something in the bulletin, Lord willing, this next week, or we'll tell a little bit about him. But he's going to have to come by. I said his wife and kids aren't going to be able to come with him on this trip, but I'm glad to have him and looking forward to that time. But tonight I've got a lot to cover, so I'm going to have to go fast and not chase rabbits. Yeah, I know. So Proverbs 23, verse 9. The Bible says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." I want to talk about something tonight that's maybe in an area that we could be a bit confused about. When I mean confused, I mean, how do we deal with this, right? Should I or shouldn't I? What should I do? And sometimes it's hard to, because sometimes we can get a bit of contradictory thought. By the way, the Bible doesn't contradict itself, but our thinking sometimes the Lord says to do this, and sometimes He says to do that. Well, sometimes there are different things, and so how do we? Is there different times? Is there different situations? We're going to look at that tonight a little bit. Number one here is the value. The value of the gospel. Your first blank. The value of the gospel. A, under that, we can devalue the gospel of Jesus Christ by treating its truth as something to be cast away and all but treated as rubbish. And so we can devalue the gospel by treating it as something that is to be cast away and treated as rubbish. We're going to speak more of that later. I'm going to develop that later, but I want to start with this thought. We have a great dilemma, okay? We have a great dilemma. And number one is this. On one hand, we are instructed to take and preach the gospel to who? Every creature, right? Number two, on the other hand, we are here instructed not to speak this wisdom, right? So you see the dilemma? There's a dilemma. There's a bit of a problem. How do we deal with this? So when we find I don't want to say a seeming contradiction, because I don't want to go that far into it, but you're thinking we got two different thoughts here. So, A, under that, under number two. So there must be in this proverb some characteristics that would help us to determine what to do, right? Should be something in there. So it takes Roman numeral two. A condition and a reason, okay? A condition and a reason. We're going to see two things. Look at verse 9 again. Okay, he starts with this. He says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." So, hey, first is the condition of a fool. Now, I want us to think about this for a moment. What defines a fool as we find it here? Now, this is what we need to think about a little bit. So, because we're saying here in this proverb, speak not in the ears of a fool. So, who is this fool? What defines a fool as we see? I mean, what takes a person to the place in their life that they are to be exempt from hearing the words of wisdom? Right? I mean, this is a pretty big situation that's going on here. It says, listen, to speak not in the ears of a fool. So there's a place that someone gets to in their life, that a person gets to, that becomes the kind of fool that says this person now is to be exempt from hearing the words of wisdom. So number one, a fool is not one that is ignorant. Okay? I want us to get that. A fool is not one that is ignorant. What does ignorant mean? It just means you don't know. Is it your fault that you don't know something? Could be. Okay. Could be. It could be. Because sometimes there's what we call, intentional ignorance. You know, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear about it. Right? I don't want to see it. Right? There's that intentional ignorance. That's a different deal. What I'm trying to say, number one here, as a fool is what we mean by a fool isn't that somebody just doesn't know. They're not ignorant. It doesn't mean like that. So, A, otherwise, if that was the case, we all at one point would be a fool because we're all ignorant. We'd all, at some point in our life, you're saying right now we're all ignorant? Well, hopefully, no. I don't think we're all ignorant. We wouldn't be here tonight, right? We do know some things, but there was a point in our lives that we were ignorant of the things of God. Okay? So, thus, here's the conclusion of that. If the ignorant could not receive wisdom, they could not be removed from their ignorance. Right? So, a fool, then, in this case, if they were an ignorant person, well, an ignorant person, don't speak to an ignorant person, just leave them ignorant. And then there wouldn't be any more Christianity. So that's obviously not what it means. So a fool doesn't mean an ignorant or unknown person. I just want us to get that thought, okay? First of all, so number two, the reason why we should not speak to a fool actually indicates to us what the condition of a fool is, okay? We're going to get to that. So the next part is the reason. The reason is going to help us to define what a fool is, because that's what we need to do. Who's this fool? Who is this fool that I'm not supposed to speak to? Don't you want to know that? I mean, how could we follow it if we don't understand? So the second part, read this verse again now. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. So B, second, the reason for not speaking wisdom to this fool is because he will what? Despise wisdom. He'll despise it. So number one, which really helps us to see who the fool is, which is this, one that despises the truth of the Word of God. Wow, you're like, preacher, you've gotten deep with us tonight, right? No, I know we're pretty basic because what I always do, I try to build a foundation we can build something on, right? Because sometimes we start going up and you get about like the fourth floor and you're like, what are we even talking about? So we got to build the foundation of what the fool is, what we're doing. So we find here in this verse, it's really someone that despises the Word of God. Under that, the value of the gospel is too great to be treated in such a way. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. I want to just clear off the space and preach on this a little bit. We're going to get to it in a moment. Number two. Therefore, the truth is not to be spoken to this fool because he, watch this, will despise it. No. What it says, it doesn't say that he might or that he may. It says that the fool will despise it. This is a very interesting and instructive statement here in this proverb. So how do we know? This is where it gets a little tricky. All right. How do we know if a person is a fool, as the proverb states? Because I know, right? I mean, how do we know that this person is a fool that I shouldn't talk to, that I shouldn't speak to, right? How do I know that this is a fool and thus not speak truth to them? How do I know this? Well, in other words, the question is, how do we know that they will despise it? Can you just see it in their eyes? Right? I can tell by looking at them. You ever done that? You kind of size them up. You look at somebody, you think about it. Nope. Like a lot of times I'd knock on doors, the door would open up. I'm talking about in a split second, I already know how they're going to respond. Right? And you know how often I'm right? Not very. Not very often at all. But I'm looking at them like, oh, this person. And then you start talking or the opposite. Oh, this is somebody. They're really going to be. You see, you know, religious paraphernalia around their house. You're like, oh, they're going to, you know, Jesus is the head of this house. You go knock on the door and they're cussing you out to get off the step. You're like, okay, I did not see that coming. Right? So do we know they're a fool by looking in their eyes? Maybe can we know their heart? No, we can't know their heart. Can we know their kind? I know that kind. That kind of people. Right? I know that kind of people. No, see, that's the problem. I mean, should we not speak wisdom? This is what I'm saying to you. Follow with me here. Should we not speak wisdom to them because they might or probably would or are likely to be a fool? See the dilemma we have? You see our problem? There's a challenge here with it, isn't it? So number three, I believe the fool is revealed in their treatment of wisdom. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to suggest we can look at somebody and know by looking at them, before we've even talked to them, before we know anything about them, we can say, I know that's a fool. I know that's somebody. I know they will despise it. Can I say, if we do that, we're just looking for excuses. So we don't get to know that, but I believe we find out it's revealed by how they deal with, or rather how they treat the wisdom that comes to them. This actually makes it even more important how we treat the gospel, that we treat it well, lest what we find them despising is our treatment of the gospel, how we deal with the gospel, and not the gospel itself. We end up being the one they despise, and what they say, and we say, yeah, they just don't like Christians. No, they don't like your kind of Christianity, maybe. And I'm not saying you here. I'm just saying in general, but you're the you, because that's who I'm talking to. You on the camera. I'm not talking to y'all here. Somebody else. Whoever's going to listen to sometime in the future. You're the one. So what I'm saying is, if we don't handle this well, right? If we don't handle this well, we don't live it like it is here. And we do as we talked about on Sunday, we do like the Pharisees and we end up turning it into something else. And then we put this pressure on people to be like me, that isn't like him, And what they end up despising, really what they're despising is me, and it's because I'm not him. So it's important that we handle it well. So A, we must look at ourselves before we attempt to take this most valued treasure to others. We got to look to ourselves first, right? Lest we are the problem, then we excuse ourselves by claiming that the other is a fool. You ever done? Yeah, they won't listen. Every time I talk to them, they won't listen. And then somebody comes up and talks to them, and they do listen. Who kind of looks like the fool then? Right? No, they won't listen. They won't. No, don't even bother talking. They don't listen to anybody. Somebody comes over and talks to them. They're like, wow, I never heard it like that before. That's interesting. I think that makes sense to me. You're like, I've told you that 100 times. Like, no, you haven't. Right? Could you imagine that scenario happening? It's happened. It's happened where we become too aggressive or whatever in one area. Listen, okay. Number 3. Look to yourself first. Look to yourself first. We're going to turn over. Keep your place here. We're going to turn back there at the end, but turn over to Matthew chapter 7. I want us to see this. I mean, can a proverb be kind of like brought out in the New Testament? Well, if it's from God, it probably should be. I mean, I guess I would imagine if God was the author of this wisdom in the proverb, I guess we could imagine Jesus Christ himself speaking about it a little bit later, right? When he's actually on it. Look here, chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, this is a favorite verse of a lot of non-Christian people. Judge not that you be not judged. That's what a lot of people like that. Bible says you're not to judge. This is a favorite verse, right? Let me go on though. Verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure or what amount ye met. Sometimes there's these old English words, with what measure ye met. Don't you be met in measurements. Right? With what measure, what amount that you mete out or that you use, okay? It shall be measured to you again. It'll be brought back on you. And verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou, what's that next word? Who else was called a hypocrite? The Pharisees were. Remember that? Yeah. He said, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Okay, here's the thing. A, Jesus preached to his disciples to examine themselves first. Number one, listen, okay. But this is not a message to say that we should not judge others. But rather, here's what it is. Number one, we should first judge ourselves before, or can I say this, and then we can judge others. Okay? First we judge ourselves, then we judge others. Is that what you see here? Do you see anywhere it says, no, don't judge others, just judge yourself? No, he said, judge yourself so that you can judge others. Okay? Here's the thing. A, believers are set to judge the whole of the world. Keep your place here. Keep another place here in Matthew. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to come back to Matthew. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I said this, believers are set to judge the whole of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 2. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Did you know that? That's what he's asking them. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Verse 4. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Listen, this was correction to the church members who were taking each other to law before men. They were taking each other, they were taking brethren inside the church. They were taking the law over disputes. And they said, what are you thinking? Why would you go out to the world to get judged? You're the judges. He said, you know what? You take the least esteemed among you is going to be the better judge than the world, is what he's saying here. Okay? So, judgment is meant for and reserved for the saints by the words of wisdom. We're not the judges because we're really smart and we know a lot of stuff. We're to be the judges because we know the words of wisdom, the word of truth, the word of God. So I don't judge according to my own thinking. I judge according to His word. When we leave His word and we judge according to my own thinking, that's when we get into the problem. Okay, back to Matthew 7. Okay, back to Matthew 7. Okay, so there's instruction here to number two here. First, get the beam out of thine own eye. Okay, first, get the beam out of your eye. What's a beam? What's a beam? Big piece of wood, a tree. Yeah, we think of a big piece of wood is what the idea gives us, a beam, a piece of lumber or whatever. A, salvation doesn't make us perfect. I wished it did. I wished it. I wish salvation made y'all perfect for my sake. Right? I wished it made me perfect for your sake. Wouldn't it be great if we got saved and we're just one big, perfect, happy family? Wouldn't it be awesome? It doesn't work like that. It's not how salvation works. As a matter of fact, if we will truly receive salvation and we will truly receive the Word of God, it reveals how sinful we've been. Right? It actually reveals to us how sinful kind of people that we are and we've been. And matter of fact, it actually reveals to us when we've digressed. Number three. So, we must diligently look to ourselves if we are to rescue others from the same penalty of sin that we escaped. Listen, if we're going to rescue other people from that penalty of sin that we escaped from, then we're going to have to look to ourselves first. Okay, A, we escaped by someone telling us, okay? We escaped by someone telling us. We help others to escape by telling them. Okay, that's good. So, B, so first, look to yourself. Okay, number four, Roman numeral four. This task is too important to waste. It's too important to waste it. Okay, brings us in to verse 6. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Okay? Sound familiar? It's the same concept we're looking over there. Now we're going to circle all the way back to the proverb that we started with here in the New Testament. We find it here in the New Testament, this teaching. And Jesus was an illustrator, right? So was Solomon, right? It was an illustrator. So he uses these things. A under that. It starts with who we are not to give that which is holy. Starts with, whether that be in the gospel message itself or even the truths of the Bible, the wisdom of the Bible on how to live this life at peace with God. There's some people that they'll never really want to follow Jesus Christ, but they want to use the wisdom of God to how to live a peaceable life. Isn't that amazing? It's like, I want to be a millionaire. I just don't want to work or risk. Or gamble. Could you just tell me how to make $1 million without any consequence to me? No, because then everyone would be millionaires if that's how it worked. And so what the world wants to do is I don't want God to be over me, but I would like to know how to live a life. Can you just give me some counsel? Tell me how you would deal with this, and you know where I'd start? salvation. And they're like, no, I know that, but how would I do it? No, if you knew that, you'd accept that. And if you can't accept that, this won't do you any good. Right? So number one, Jesus said here that we are not to give it to the dogs. I know some of y'all are thinking, but I like to feed dogs. Right? My wife loves to go and just like give them food, pet dogs, do all this stuff. You know, some of y'all are thinking, dogs are so cute. It's just gross, isn't it? Cute. Some of y'all are like, my dog sleeps with me. Dogs are great, right? I want you, y'all know what I'm talking about. Some people like that with dogs, my family. Some of them are like that, some aren't. So I get that. But remember the audience here, okay? Dogs in that day were primarily wild, vulgar creatures that lived on the streets. You understand that? That's what they were. People, in those days, they were really very reasonable humans that said dogs belong outside, not in my house, right? We're in a different day. A, under this, the dogs are here a metaphor for the fool of Proverbs 23:9. It's a metaphor. It's giving that same kind of. Now number two. Okay, now watch. If anybody would struggle with the illustration of a dog, you're like, well, you know, maybe they, number two. The Lord also makes it very clear to these Jewish men with the next animal. Look again in verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. So A, under that, swine were a filthy, dirty, unholy animal throughout Jewish history until today. Right? One of the worst things about being a Jew is you can't eat bacon. That was a joke. Okay. Yeah. They can't even, matter of fact, to them, they're not even to touch that kind of thing. Matter of fact, if they were to touch a hog, they're unclean. They can't even go into the temple. Right? Everybody would understand this kind of thing. Listen, there was no doubt what was meant by the choice of that animal that Jesus Christ talks about here. B, there are two things that Jesus said these fools would do. Number one, they will trample them under their feet. That's what he says there. He says in verse 6, lest they trample them under their feet. Listen, this is what a hog would do with pearls. You give pearls to a hog. Hey, hoggy hog, I got some really expensive pearls for you. And the hog says, can I eat it? What else does a hog do? Can I eat it? And it goes to eat it, and it's not food. So what does a hog do with it? Spits it out. Is that too graphic? Anyway, I didn't actually spit. Since it's not food, the swine would give no value to it, but just trample it down in the mud and treat it as rubbish. It's nothing to keep moving on. Wow. A, we should not treat that which is holy as rubbish. We should not treat it as rubbish. Number two. They will turn. Okay, so I said there's two things he said they were going to do. One, they would trample them under the feet. Number two, they will turn and rend you. The word rend, R-E-N-D. They will turn and rend you. This is what a wild dog would do. Okay, listen. A, under this, the image is of taking something holy, as in a burnt offering or a sacrifice, something set apart for God, then tossing it out to a mangy dog. Right? Could you imagine the Old Testament sacrifice and how they had set something apart, and it was a burnt offering or sacrifice or whatever, and they cut a piece off and it was given to the people, would actually consume that together as a communion with the Lord, with God is what it was. And so here they was, he's the Lord Jesus Christ has given us that which is holy, taking it and giving it to a dog. That dog, or fool as is inferred here, will treat it is that it's nothing of value. Even though it's of greatest value to the Lord. But the dog would treat it not much more than one would a bar-esque hot dog. You ever had a bar-esque hot dog? Man, you know who eats bar-esque hot dogs? Me either. I used to, because it was cheap. Bar-esque. Ms. Judy's like, I don't know what that is. It is the cheapest form of hot dog you can buy. I don't know if there's even any dog in it. You know what I mean? It's just, we used to get them because they were cheap. We'd get a big old pack for our family. And I told my wife, I said, I just can't. I can't eat. This is what I'm saying. When I'm saying bar-esque, I'm saying the very lowest meat form. This is what it is. But to the dog, that nasty hot dog would be the same as that great sacrifice that was set apart. It was holy. So B, they would then turn on you and rend or hurt you. So the word rend here means means to lacerate. Maybe the idea here is that they would bite and cut you. Remember, it's an illustration, so we don't want to get too deep into that. But here's the idea that what was happening. The fool would certainly do that with their words. You give them something, they'll come back and cut and bite and rend you. See, the instruction here is not to give the fool the wisdom of God. So, number one under that. Because they will degrade it, devalue it, and despise it. We're back in Proverbs 23 and verse 9. Let's read it one last time. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. A, maybe it is of importance that this proverb says to speak in the ears. I've seen this, and I thought, you know, it's not like we're trying to hide it from them. Keep it. Listen what I'm saying to you. It's not like we're talking about Jesus Christ. They come in. And then if you'll do this, you'll be saved. They come in. No, not like that. Okay? Not like we're trying to hide it from them. I don't want them, you know. But it really means that there's going to be times when the fool maybe will be in a public place or maybe even in a church service. Our pastor, are you saying we shouldn't bring a fool, somebody that despises the word, we shouldn't bring them into church? No. Listen. If they come into this and they happen to be in a place, and I do think we ought to be real careful about trying to constantly get them under that when they are going to despise. We're going to get out of here. Yeah, that preacher's stupid. I don't agree with that. I hate the church. You shouldn't do that. And they begin to mock it and ridicule it. Listen, the message, they come into a church, the message isn't wasted or despised, but it's cast out even among those that receive it. Listen, I want to say, number two, we are not instructed It's not reading right. Okay. What I want to say with this last thing, and then we're going to, it's not an instruction that says, well, you know, if you have the opportunity, if it's not, you know, whatever, you can try. No. We're actually instructed here, folks, to not speak in the ears of a fool. I want to end with this. We're already just a minute. I got about four on my window of time. When I was thinking about this and going through this and looking at, I think you know, sometimes this is one of the most discouraging things. Because I feel compelled to tell people about the gospel, especially the jerk that hates God and he's going to hell, or she's going to hell without Christ. They're a jerk. They're nasty. They're mean. They don't like it, but they're on their way to hell. So I feel compelled that maybe if I tell them one more time, this will be the time that I get through to them. You ever thought like that? I've thought like that so many times. And you know what they do? They turn and rend me again. They trample it down. They mock it. They degrade it to the point. I can remember this fella. I'm sitting here trying to share the gospel with somebody else. This guy comes up and he actually mocks me and ridicules the word of God in the presence of this guy. And this guy that I'm sharing the gospel, he kind of like, yeah. And I'm thinking, man, what a... You know, we ought to treat it. We ought to treat the gospel as it's so special. But I'm not special. You're not special. We're not special. But it's special. And if I'm going to give this to somebody, I'm giving them something of a great value. There's nothing that carries the value of this thing. You see, I can remember one time I was sitting in Sri Lanka, and I've probably told the story many times, and I will again, but I can remember it just so vividly. There was this couple there. I'm sharing the gospel. Their English was really great, and I was talking to them and sharing the gospel with them. Like, you know, they're listening, and they just wouldn't receive it. And I can remember telling them, I said, you are getting something here today that most of your countrymen will never get. You're getting the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, you are a great minority of your whole nation. And it just, as I was sitting there, we were talking, I would talk, my wife was, we were talking to this couple, and it just impressed me of like, wow, what these, not that, you're pretty awesome. No. What I was thinking is, wow, how God put us in the path of these people. And they were getting this, and what a privilege it was for them. It's not me, it's it. And I thought, what an amazing thing. And when we cheapen it, we devalue it by saying, well, you know, if you'll just pray this prayer, just pray a prayer and you get the whole shebang. No, if we just, folks, I think the Lord's given us here, I really believe what He's given us here. He said, listen, maybe is it, the Lord said, this isn't your burden. Now, remember I said we had to find out how they're a fool in the first place. We're not saying, I don't want to share it with anybody because I think y'all are a bunch of fools. Now, that's kind of an excuse, right? But once we find out, they are trampling on the Word of God. By the way, if I get angry, now what's the problem? Now it's me. But if I say, you know what, they don't want this precious promise of God, that I'm gonna find someone else that does. And once they prove themselves, by the way, man, I would love to spend a lot of time on this. I think this, sometimes we try to shove it down their neck when they're despising it. Maybe if we just backed up with it and lived it, maybe they'd stop despising. Father, I do pray that you'd help us. Lord, help us take this proverb, this truth that our Savior preached about. And Lord, help it. I pray that you'd use in our hearts to direct us, to guide us. Lord, pray that you'd use your Spirit, that your Spirit would speak to us about these things, about your Word. And we'll thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.